Hey, in this session, we want to talk about something that's worth thinking through. Yes, we want to help other people using the Bible. But here's the deal. I want to serve our Lord well all the way to the end. It's worth thinking through how. How do you make it to the end? How do you keep serving? And don't hear me saying there aren't seasons where you adjust. I'm getting more tired. I've got health issues. I do less number of cases. I've got to change some things. But I don't want to ever stop serving God effectively. So let's talk about ministry for a lifetime. Because so often I watch, and lots of times our lives and Christians, their life of ministry looks a lot like a bell curve. Maybe you've seen it in a science class or in a sales meeting. You know, a bell curve that so often shows the life of something. Think about, I'm old enough, like the hula hoop, right? It's like you see it every now and then on Instagram. But oh my goodness, in the 1930s and 40s, Zippo, no sales at all. And oh, in 1958, some little fledgling company in California called Wham-O. Wham-O. Oh my goodness. Wham-O sold 100 million hula hoops in 12 months and made two men very, very rich. But in the 70s, oh, it just began to plateau. It began to dive. And now, every now and then, you see a hula hoop. But it's not what it's about. For what it's worth, just a little side issue. I love, if you're not familiar with it, Malcolm Gladwell, not necessarily a Christian, but he's just got great books on why, what. He's got one called Tipping Point. Why do certain things take off? I hope you know that doesn't just happen. You can dig in. He's got one called Outliers. I've read tons of his books, and it's just fascinating. Since I like people, and we're working with people, what's going on? Consider, grab some of his. Just so that made me think about with the hula hoop. You know, why did that take off? If you're not careful, Christians in the way you serve can be the same way. When you're not a believer, it's off the radar. You're not thinking about anybody but you. You're not thinking about give your life away and serve. But when you first get saved, you know, you might hear a message about gifts, a message about serving. But it kind of comes with the territory. The Holy Spirit that saved you is now living in you and begins to stir you to use you. And so often I see people jump in with both feet. They are so excited. They cannot get enough of serving with all their might. But if you're not careful, you'll watch. Now, sometimes I have to admit, we try to be really careful with our people. Churches can burn people out and can just grab hold of people. And because they're doing this, now do this and do this and do this and drive the bus and be a clown. And then I get them. At our church, I kid you not, and they sit in the back row, and they're like, we already been at XYZ church for 30 years, and they'll name everything they did. Well, what's so sad is they'll say to me now, we're not doing anything. Well, I don't want to do that. So even Brad Bigney, in 2011, I hit the wall. My hands were just slightly shaking, and I just felt like I could cry every day. And I thought, I think this is what a nervous breakdown feels like, I guess. And so I just got before the Lord, and I was just doing too much. You know, it happens, right? In life, we're like magnets, and ministry's like filaments. And you don't realize you said yes to this. Good stuff keeps coming your way. I was on boards, and the publisher wanted me to write another book, and I'm doing tons of counseling. And now I have a staff. It's not being by myself. I've got 35 full-time people I'm trying to manage. And I just had to say, wait a minute. And I cut stuff, and none of it was dumb. It was just a question of good, better, best, so that I could have some bandwidth to be with Vicky and still have a marriage, to be with the Lord and still know the one I'm talking about. Can you go hard doing ministry and you're actually telling others all about someone that you don't know intimately anymore? Oh, scary. I don't want it to happen to me. I want to actually do ministry out of the overflow of knowing Him. I want to keep knowing my Bible, so I read it every year. But I hope you realize it is not Bible knowledge solely that impacts people. I mean, don't make it your goal to be biblically ignorant. But you can be so knowledgeable, and here's what makes the difference. Just like when we were raising kids, you know the phrase, more is caught than. It's true in counseling, you guys. It's true in ministry. It's like you can teach a children's class, you can lead a small group, you can do counseling, and I hope you know your Bible well enough to do some good stuff. But what is it that impacts people that they say, oh, I always remember Mrs. So-and-so. She taught her. It's the heart. It's that they think, what does she have? It's like she knows Jesus. She loves him. She knows that he's real to her. Or like Mr. So-and-so. It's like when I counsel people, I want it to end in 12, 14, 16 sessions, not just with them thinking, man, he knows his Bible. I want them to say, he knows Jesus. I want to know Jesus like that. I want to know him like, so you bring a heart, but you will not, I'm convinced of this now at 63 and after being a pastor 40 years, you will not come to know Jesus intimately in the fast lane. We live in a world that's like, how do I get that done fast? How do I just have intimacy with Jesus fast? You don't. It takes time. Now, I don't mean hundreds and hundreds of hours, but I get up earlier than I would like to get up to spend, I call it unhurried time with the Lord. It scares me when I hear people like me say, oh, I don't really have a set-aside Bible time for myself because I'm using the Bible all the time. Very scary. I'm using the Bible today. I got up earlier at Homewood Suites, earlier than I meant to. My clock was set wrong from California. So when I went to breakfast, I'm like, dang, why am I the only one? And I've had a full day. I've been up a long time already. I just had extra Bible time. I had a second cup of coffee. But even when I'm got my clock right, I want to have unhurried time in his presence. So that then when I have a meeting, then when I do counseling, then when I lead my small group on Tuesday night, then, all these opportunities, there's something different that happens when you are talking to people about someone you just spent time with. Does that make sense? But oh, if you're not careful, all of a sudden it plateaus and it starts just closing off. And you can reach a point where you're like, let others do it. I don't want to do it anymore. I've done it. I hope you realize there is something good that happens to us when we serve. It's not just good for other people. You don't ever want, please, redeploy, adjust, shift, no problem. But reach a point where you're like, I'm just taking it in now. I just want to attend Bible conferences. I'm done giving, serve. Oh, the day you say that, you're also probably done really growing to be more like him. His final sermon, he preached some great ones, but his final sermon had very few words. Remember what it was? John 13, upper room, picked up the bowl and the towel, and he served. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving. So I don't ever want to stop serving. Redeploy, yes. Stop, no. So, how would we keep going and do it for a lifetime, Lord willing? Well, let me give you some guardrails that I've tried to put in place in my life that I hope might would help you as well. Four guardrails that I'm trying to be mindful of to finish well. Number one, might sound like a no-brainer, but oh, never move on from the gospel. Now, I know it's overused. Thank goodness I don't hear it quite as much, but I almost lost my mind there for a while. Preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. It was great that people had come back to it, but I felt like people were just parroting and saying it, and I wanted to poke them and say, what do you even mean? What would that look like? Well, what it looks like for me, you guys, is that I keep reading the Bible. How much of it? All of it. And therefore, I get four gospels where I see Jesus, who he is, what he said, what he's done that I could never do for myself. I'm going to hit Isaiah 53 every year, and I am moved. You guys, I'm moved. I get weepy every time. It's not like, oh, yeah. He didn't even look like a man. My sins were put on him. The wrath of God was poured out on him. He drank. I see him wrestling in the garden four times in four gospels saying, Father, if there's any other way. I stay close to the gospel and I never get over, oh, he saved, say it, me. And I believe that keeps you more excited about sharing it with others. I just have not lost my enthusiasm. It just blows my mind that he saved me, that he saved me,